Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregations, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the first stanza. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place. How good and pleasant is thy dwelling. My thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints, thy holy courts to see. And what follows? Psalter 421, the first stanza. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 13. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty and merciful God, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of the earth, then on the morning of this new Lord's Day, whereby renewal, where every Lord's Day we may commemorate, that the Lord is risen indeed, then it behooves us to bow our heads, and may it be granted that there may be a bowing of the heart to humbly acknowledge thee for the manifold mercies which thou hast granted so freely, so unabundantly in the week gone by, and also in this morning hour. Then thou art still a faithful God, and thou wast given that the sun may arise by renewal. Ah, thou wast said in thy holy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. O Lord, may we be included in that number, and when we are not, And may it be granted by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that in this very hour, that we may be added to that number. Then thou wast blessed us in so many ways, even in the midst of thy solemn judgments, in the way of thy solemn speaking. Then thou dealeth not according to our sins, but then thou yet showers us with many blessings. Then thou wast not ushered us into eternity, where also in the past week multitudes have come to the end of life's journey, have went into eternity, and their lot is forever cast. Then thou yet granteth health and strength, although there are concerns, dreaded diseases. We may acknowledge thee that at the moment, that there is not one in the hospital. Then in the past week thou wast given food and drink. We may have a home. We may have thy holy word. Then thou wast granted that the farmers could plant their crops. And then thou wast given gentle showers, Lord. And may it then be thy goodness that may lead us and our children to repentance. We humbly ask thee in this morning hour for a blessing upon thy holy word by renewal, Lord. Already the eighth Lord's day, may it become our guilt. May we come in a secret place confessing our sins, and yet with that earnest longing, may there be many in this day. A few may come to thy house, but the most are called upon to be in their homes, when they may listen along, that what we have sung together, that it may declare their heart, that earnest longing, to once more to go up to thy courts. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, Lord. It is written in thy holy word that thou art waiting to be gracious, waiting for us and our children to repent of our worldly and evil days, ways, and to cry mightily unto thee. Lord, may it please thee to bless thy word for our boys and our girls, for our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. May it be for true conversions. May sons and daughters be born in Zion. What greater token could thou grant that thou still knowest of us when it would be heard that sinners were placed in their guilt and in their missing added to that number of those true seekers? But, Lord, remember also thy people. They learn more and more how dependent they are upon thee, and that even under thy solemn speaking, that they can also remain so cold. But may it become different in this morning hour, in this day. Wilt thou grant a returning unto thee, that tender, that dependent life? In paradise we have become proud. We have become independent, and then thy children have to confess so often that, alas, that is their condition. But they know of those other times, those blessed times, those sweet times, when they may be bound to the throne of grace, when they need thee for everything, when they may be given to see thy providential hand, but also in the way of grace, to be led further. Let there be no rest outside of that only name given under heaven, whereby we can and where we must be saved through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all those that are called to labor therein, all thy truly called servants, elders and deacons. Remember on the mission field those that are called to go to the ends of the earth to proclaim thy precious word. Remember the many temporal needs amongst us. Lord, wilt thou provide for our daily bread? Thou knowest all the fears. Thou knowest all the concerns when there are those amongst us that have lost their employment. Ah, wilt thou be mindful of them? Ah, when we may still have work to do, it is true. There can be many times that it is overwhelming, and that there is tiredness of the body. But oh, what a blessing and a privilege it is when we may still have a place upon the earth, when we may still have a work to do. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children, other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them, and that those empty places may be filled with thy special presence. Remember all the elderly ones. Remember our care home, those that are bound to their home. Ah, when the weakness and the infirmities are increasing, when our days, when they are short, wilt thou remember, uphold them above all, save never dying souls. We commend unto thee all under the physician's care. Thou knowest the many and the great concerns. Remember the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou remember the handicapped with all those that care for them. Remember the crosses, the burdens. We commend unto thee all the family circles. Wilt thou grant that love may abound. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, then we humbly ask thee, for thy gracious help, may it please thee, to open thy precious testimony. Send help from the sanctuary, strengthen thee out of Zion, and grant a little freedom and a liberty. Ah, we are so dependent upon thee for everything. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, those that may sigh along. Remember all the hearers. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance. In a special way, remember the boys and girls when they cannot even be in church. But, ah, thou only needeth one word. Remember the whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest. And then we remember the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week, where they have begun life journey together as husband and wife. It is the first Lord's Day in their married life. Also so different when they are called upon to remain in their home. But may it please thee to grant a blessing for their never-dying soul. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 148, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Jehovah, to my prayer give ear, nor hide thee from my cry. Attend my sad complaint and hear my restless mourn and sigh. And what follows, Psalter 148, the first four stanzas. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for the chapter which we have read together, Revelations 13, and for our text, we shall read the verses 1, 11, and 12. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And then the verses 11 and 12, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Our text words speak of the Apostle John's alarming vision of the two beasts, with three thoughts. In the first place, the horrible beast coming out of the sea. In the second place, the deceiving beast coming out of the earth. And in the third place, the mark given to the worshippers of the beasts. The Apostle John's alarming vision of the two beasts. The horrible beast coming out of the sea, which is declared in the first 10 verses. The deceiving beast coming out of the earth in the verses 11 through 15. And the mark given to the worshiper of the two beasts, the verses 16 through 18. Beloved congregations, by renewal, our text words have been taken out of the book of the Revelation, and the manifestations of which the exalted Christ has given to John on the island of Patmos when he was banished for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the whole book must be seen in the context of the first chapter, where he has received a vision of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And we have also seen in chapter 6 that there is first spoken of him on that white horse, going forth to conquer and conquering, before there was spoken of the red, the black, and the pale horse. Then the book of Revelation is immersed in symbolism, many times comparable to many images that are used in the Old Testament, also this chapter. Then we can draw many lines to the book of Daniel in the visions in which the Lord is shown unto a servant in Babylon in exile in the chapter 7 through 12. Then in this book, many deep and many mysterious things declared. And then in the way of prophecy, so it was, when we think of the many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have the fulfillment But for the saints of old, then much was enshrouded in mystery, unless the Lord by His Spirit has given special light upon the same. And now we read in this chapter that the Apostle John, that he was standing upon the sand of the sea, meditating upon what he has seen, but also considering the persecution that the church was under. And then when he has stood on the sand of the sea, and then he has watched that sea, and then we must first consider what the sea represents. And then it is very clear when we compare Scripture to Scripture that the sea, that is a picture of the nations of the world. We read in Daniel 7, verse 3, that Daniel was given to see that four beasts, that they have come out of the sea. And then the instruction was given to Daniel that those beasts, that they represented different world empires. So then it is clear from Daniel 7 that the sea, that it is a picture of the nations of the world. And that is confirmed in Revelation 17, verse 5. The waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes. And now concerning the sea here below, oh, what a waves, what a storms, what a turmoil in the midst of the nations. We have heard the past Lord's Day of that red horse of war, and even of that pale horse, where it concerned a fourth part of the inhabitants of the earth. And now we read in our text that he saw a beast arise up out of the sea. It was a terrible looking beast. In Daniel 7, when he saw those four beasts, then those beasts, they were separate. But this beast was all together, and that they represented different beasts. And then that beast had seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw, and then we read of those animals, and then that beast has received power from the dragon, then it is necessary that we understand who the dragon represents. Thus the beast is not the dragon. And then it is clear from chapter 12, he is called the red dragon, the dragon of war, at enmity with the Lord and at enmity with his church. And then in chapter 12, we read of a woman that was ready to be delivered of the child that was Christ, and that the dragon has stood ready to swallow up that child, but that the child was taken into heaven, and then the dragon has made war with the woman. And then in the middle part of chapter 12, then we read of the defeat of the dragon, and in the last verses that the woman, that she has dwelt in the wilderness, there she was persecuted, and the dragon has sent out floods of water that woman would be taken away. But then the earth has helped the woman, and then the earth has swallowed up those waters. Thus the dragon, that is the devil. And now when we read that this horrible looking beast, that he had seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. We also read in chapter 12 that the dragon had crowns, but the dragon, the devil, did not have the crowns upon his horns, but he had the crowns upon his head. Thus then it is clear, as it is later declared in this chapter, that the dragon has given the beast his power. And now when we read that this beast, that he had 10 horns, then in the scripture, then it is clear that horns, that they are an emblem of power, and also the ornament of the beasts. That is so clearly declared in Daniel 8, where Daniel in a vision that he was given to see a ram with 2 horns. One horn was greater than the other, and there were none that could withstand that ram because of those horns. But then a Daniel was given to see a he-goat with a notable horn between his eyes. He traveled so swiftly that his feet did not touch the earth. And then that he-goat with that very large horn, then he has met that ram. And then the 2 horns of that ram are broken, and that ram had no power left. Thus then it is clear from that beast, when it is written that he had 10 horns, that it was a mighty, a powerful beast, a beast to be feared, a beast that would receive much power. And now this beast, the beast which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And thus then we could speak of the swiftness of the leopard. When we think of a paw of a bear, boys and girls, you know it, that a bear with a swipe of his paw, how powerful he is. And the lion is the king of the animals. Thus then a horrible looking beast, though that beast was a combination of those animals. Thus then we see the difference with the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel, then he was given to see 4 separate beasts. Those 3 beasts mentioned, and then the 4th beast was not mentioned. What that beast looked like. And then Daniel was instructed that the 1st beast, that was the kingdom of Babylon. The 2nd beast, and that points to the ram with those 2 horns, that is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. The 3rd beast, and that also was signified by the goat in chapter 8, that was the kingdom of Greece. And the 4th kingdom, that was the kingdom of the Roman Empire. Oh, then Daniel was also given to see of the Ancient of Days. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And now we read, then you can understand, congregation, how astonished that John must have been when he saw that horrible beast arising slowly out of the sea. Undoubtedly first, he has seen the horns, the crowns, and then those different animals all combined in one beast. So what does that signify, congregation? Then in our text words, in our chapter, then those beasts are not separate, but they are all together. It speaks of one king, of one kingdom. It speaks of a world order. When last week we have spoken of the red horse, and that power was given unto him, that it is because of the red horse of war, that thus far and there has not come one world order. Oh, many kingdoms, many kings have tried to be ruler of the whole world, but thus far they have not succeeded. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, a wounded to death. Then undoubtedly there are many that ask concerning those heads, concerning those crowns, concerning those horns, who do they represent? Ah, then in the church, then many have been pointed to. In the early church, they thought Nero. Later, other rulers, some have thought Napoleon, others Hitler. But it is evident in our text that this beast would be ruler over the whole world. And thus far, it is true. There were kingdoms that have expanded far, but thus far there has never been a king, a ruler, that ruled over the whole earth. But now the Apostle John, then he saw something very special and very remarkable. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Then we see something very remarkable, that there was a head, there was a ruler, a kingdom, that has been wounded to death. Great difficulties, great trials that have come upon the kingdom, and concerning the king, but then we read that the deadly wound was healed and all the world wondered after the beast. What do we see in our text words, congregation? That there shall come a kingdom and that upon this world there shall come a great trial, a great difficulties, and that a solution would be found. And do we not see in our day, when there comes a great crisis upon the world, when the world speaks in a special way up to the inhabitants of the earth, that rulers, they receive much more freedom to make laws, and as a general rule, that the people that they are willing to accept that rule. Is that not also evident in our day? And now when we read in our text that the dragon has given power to the beast, Martin Luther has stated that the devil tries to imitate what the Lord does. Oh, it has begun in heaven that the devil, that he want to be as God, the general thought of our fathers is, that it was the sin of pride. And then the devil with all his angels has been cast out of heaven. And now when bitter enmity, that warfare has been declared in Genesis 3 verse 15, that warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And now when we think of the Trinity, then the Father has given power to a Son. The Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Galilee in Matthew 28 verse 18 has declared unto his disciples, unto his church, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. And now we read in our text words in this chapter that the dragon has given power to the beast. Thus the dragon tries to pretend that he is God, that he is the Father, that he is the ruler, and that there is also one unto whom he gives power, and that is the beast. Thus then it is clear in this chapter that the beast is a world power, a world ruler. And now we read of the inhabitants of the earth, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. There you have it, the dragon given power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with them? Then it is clear that the beast, it is a head. Always has been wounded in that respect. When we think of the Son of God, he was wounded on the cross of Calvary. He has died, but he has gained the victory. He is risen. Then each Lord's Day, then the church may commemorate that the Lord is risen indeed. Oh, may it be experienced in these solemn times that the Lord is risen indeed by the sending forth of a Spirit, and that the number of those that may fall down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that it may be increased, that it may be multiplied. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, who was like unto the beast, who was able to make war with him. And then we read, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue of 42 months. Then concerning numbers have been many questions, many thoughts. We must understand that most of the book is written in the way of symbols. And to that end, when we consider 42 months in another place, also in Daniel, we read of 1,260 days. When we place 30 days in a month in the Old Testament, among the Jewish people, they had a lunar month. When there was a new moon, that was the beginning of a new month. That's a little less than 30 days. Then 7 years of 19 years, they added an extra month to keep the seasons the same. Then we also read in the scriptures concerning those 42 months of a time, times, and a half a time, that refers to 3.5 years. Then when we place scripture beside scripture, then these 42 months, they are the time from the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ to shortly before when Christ shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And now we read, because also our chapter congregation, that is a separating chapter, speaks of two kinds of people. And also concerning these matters, then we are not people that are only spectators, but then we and our children, then we belong to a certain people. And I read in the Bible of two peoples, two ways, and two destinations. In our natural state, then we are still without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world. And by grace we belong to the Lord's people. And then we read, and he was given unto him. And that given in verse 7, that is the comfort for the church. We have heard from chapter 6 that there is first spoken of the white horse of victory with a crown and with a bow. And now concerning that power, and it was given unto him, it is true. In the former verses it speaks of given power, that was by the dragon. It was given, of course, the dragon also has a part in it, but we know from the Bible that the dragon, the devil, can do no more than the Lord permits. The Lord fulfills his decree. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Thus we do not read nation against nation, not war against the rich or the poor, not war with the Jews, not war with certain nationalities, not war with the different religions, but a war with the saints. What are saints? They are holy ones. They are consecrated. They are separated. No, they shall not say of self that they are saints. They have learned that they are a sinner. And with everything they have experienced, they are a sinner still. When they become more than a sinner, they become too much. Nevertheless, by the work of the Holy Spirit, they shall be led into the mysteries of salvation. Saints that are washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations and all that dwell upon the earth, not the saints, but all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who are written in the book of the Lamb? That belongs to the secret things of the Lord. But that now becomes evident in our life. Because in this chapter we read the saints, they are persecuted, and the rest, they shall worship the beast. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Our second thought, the deceiving beast coming out of the earth. When John has beheld that beast out of the sea, then he was also given to see, because that beast has come upon the shore, that there was an other beast. And I beheld an other beast coming out of the earth. When we think of our day, then how the earth is worshipped as a god. Spoken of mothers, the mother earth, there's an earth day. Thus then the earth has become a god. Think of all what is written about climate change. Not acknowledging that the Lord stands over everything. It is true. We have a responsibility and our duty concerning the earth. In Genesis 2 verse 15, then Adam were called to dress and keep the garden. Thus we have a responsibility, and nevertheless in our day, the earth is worshipped as a god. When we think of the New Age movement, it has much to do with the earth. But this beast, he looked very different from the first beast. The second beast was more gentle, because we read, he had two horns like a lamb. And a lamb is very innocent, it is true. Still had horns, still had power. And he spake as a dragon. The first beast, that is a beast of power. That is the power of the Antichrist. But the second beast, that is the mind of the Antichrist. False religion and false philosophy. Has Christ not spoken of sheep that come in wolf's clothing? And now concerning this beast, then he had a special purpose, because we read, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Also, it is clear the second beast is under the authority of the dragon. And now the second beast, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Thus the second beast was given to extol the first beast. And then he causeth all the people upon the earth, except the saints, to worship that first beast. Then what do we see, congregation, also with that second beast? With the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now the Father has given the kingdom into the hands of his dear Son. And now the work of the Holy Spirit, we read that in John 16, verse 14, that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to make room in the hearts of poor sinners for the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, that the saints may be given to worship, to adore, and to be saved by him. And now the dragon, he has the first beast, trying to imitate the Son of God, and then that second beast to try to imitate the Holy Spirit. And now how does that second beast and now cause the inhabitants of the earth to worship the first beast? Then we read, and he doeth great wonders. First, he speaketh. When the Apostle John received this vision, then what a questions there must have been, how it is possible for one kingdom, one ruler, to have authority and control over the people of the earth. But in the year 2020, with everything that has developed in the way of technology, then it is not as difficult anymore to understand. And now the second beast, he doeth wonders, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. When we consider of all the inventions in so many different ways, then how is it with those inventions? What do we hear from the world? Does the world speak of the God that has created everything in such a wonderful way, and that he has given man wisdom to harness those powers with all those inventions? No. Then there is an ending in man. Oh, when we consider that second beast, human secularism, what is promoted in congregation, we are submerged in the teachings of that second beast. What does the humanist teach? They teach, they deny that man is fallen. They still consider man as good, and they shall tell us, if our children only have the right environment and the right teaching, and you allow them to bud, then the world shall become a better and better place, and a worshiping of the world empire. And those thoughts, afraid they have more influence upon us and our children than we realize. If we consider in former days, for most it was admitted that with television, because of our fallen nature, that we do not have control over the knob. But now with internet, it's surprising how many people tell you, even fathers and mothers, that they say we and our children do not do those things. Because then we are denying our fallen state. Then the humanist also denies that the Lord is the creator of the heavens and of the earth. They deny the providence of the Lord. Think at the moment how few rulers, still a blessing. In the past week, the beginning of May, in the United States, always a day set aside for a national prayer day. Then in the past week, then President Donald Trump has written a proclamation, quoted the Bible, made much reference to the Lord and the need of prayer, but as a general rule, then also under the Lord's solemn speaking, how little that the Lord is mentioned, and even less mention made of guilt, of sin, the need for repentance. Then the humanist, then they focused more on the time, or all on the time. And they do not think of eternity. Then the humanist, oh, it is all related to the teaching of that false beast out of the earth. Then they focus on the glory of man. They tell you that the human mind is supreme, that the human mind shall find solutions. That's what they are telling us in our day. And a denial of the Lord. Thus then we read of wonders and also of a speaking. And then we read, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, and it lived. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. When we read those verses, we have to be careful. Has been done for ages, but nevertheless in our time, how true it has become. In Bible times, the land of Israel, then the rulers, many times, they have gathered the people together to instruct them. Also read of days of fasting, prayer, and humiliation. Think of Joel 2, Ezra 9. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he has spoken to multitudes, feeding 5,000 and 4,000 men without the women, then they were given to speak to great multitudes, but it was only a limited number. When we think in the days of Esther, then the message was sent out by the written word. At that degree, when Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, when he has made that great golden image, then he has invited many important people that they would bow and worship that beast, but it was only a limited number. But now in our text words it is written that an image of the beast would be made, and that image would live, and that the people of the earth would worship that beast. When we consider the modern technology, the modern media, then how possible it is that a world leader can address the people of the earth. And now that beast out of the earth, an enmity of God, an enmity of Christ, an enmity at His word. When we consider the modern media, then it is, as a general rule, in the hands of the beast out of the earth. All against God, against the Son, and against His church. And now concerning that beast of the earth, we have said, even though we do not realize it, when we are bombarded by the thoughts of that beast, contrary to the word of God, what is now so necessary for us and our children? That we read and diligently search the word of God. What saith the word of God? I read in Isaiah 8 verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. They walk not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them, the necessity that we are much on our knees, begging the Lord that we may be kept. And now concerning, we have heard already in this chapter, two kinds of people, great multitudes, they shall worship that beast. They shall be deceived by the second beast. They shall be awed by the wonders and by the things he spoke, because that beast has received the wound and he was healed. Thus, two people, most of the world, that shall worship the beast, but there are those saints, a remnant. There shall also be, and in our last thought, that separation is made clear. How often it is asked, also in our time by young and old, what are we now to understand by the mark of the beast? Can be a question out of curiosity. Can also be sincere. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 92, the stanzas 6 and 7. My foes with joy my woe survey, but Thou, O Lord, hast seen it all. O, be no longer far away, nor silent when on Thee I call. And what follows, Psalter 92, 6 and 7. the Apostle John's alarming vision of the two beasts. The horrible beast coming out of the sea. The deceiving beast coming out of the earth. And now the mark given to the worshipers of the two beasts. And congregations, when we consider those two beasts, then what a warfare is being fought. Because that red horse does not only fight in the way of little warfare, but what a wars are fought. And that is the doing of these two beasts in our schools, in our universities, in our courts, in our governments. And then what a blessing, because in our public schools, there the philosophy of the second beast, oh, they are as instruments the beasts also know, who has the youth, has the future in his hand, as a Martin Luther has stated. Then what a privilege and what a blessing it is that the Lord has granted the gift of our Christian school, where God's word may still have a place, and may the Lord richly bless the instruction out of his holy word, that many may be placed under the banner of King Jesus. But let us remember that those beasts, that they are also attempting to bring Christian schools under their thoughts and under their philosophies. And therefore the necessity that we stand on our guard. What saith the Lord? When we consider the power of those two beasts to bring mankind under their dominion, when we think of our days, our governments, how they control so much, and that more and more the inhabitants, they are dependent upon the government, that they look upon the government as their God. When we consider under the judgments of the Lord, where the government is handing out much money, which they do not even have. And do we not read in Proverbs 22 verse 7 that the borrower is servant of the lender? But now concerning the last verses, and he causeth all the beast who was under the direction, the dominion of the dragon, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, young and old. If then in this morning, when that mark may be declared in our text words, then it is as it were that you were laid before a church, before a choice, whether to continue to worship those two beasts or to worship the Lord. Oh, what a solemn thing it is to receive that mark, because we read in the following chapter, in chapter 14, of those that receive the mark, listen, verses 9 and 10. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Thus then it is clear in the scriptures when we have that mark that we are lost. And now it is necessary when we consider concerning that mark, much has been written and much has been spoken, but let us in this morning compare scripture with scripture. And now in the Bible time, then many times a mark was put upon an animal or a slave that declared ownership. When we consider Deuteronomy 6 verse 8, the verses 6 through 9, then Moses was given to speak concerning the words of the Lord, that they must be in their heart, and that the Israelites must teach them diligently to their children in the home, on the way, when they lie down, when they raiseth up. And then concerning that law and concerning those words, then in verse 8 we read, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thy eyes. It is true. The Jews, many, at least the Orthodox Jews, the stricter Jews, they have taken those words literally. And in Matthew 23, verse 5, we read of phylacteries. Then what have the Jewish people done? And then when a boy became 13 years old, he became a son of the law. And when he prayed, then they have taken different portions of scriptures. They tell four texts out of the Old Testament, and they have put them in a black calfskin, and they have tied them to their arm. And then also in a little box, about 1.5 inches square, they have put that on their forehead. So they have taken that text literally. But when we read that text in Deuteronomy 6 verse 8, then we understand it symbolically, that the words which the Lord has taught them, that they must be in their mind, in their understanding, of course necessary by the grace in their hearts, and that the word of God must have dominion over all of their life. Thus that text in Deuteronomy 6, and we find the same in a few more verses in Exodus 13 verse 9. Also in Deuteronomy 11, there is spoken of the same thing, of signs upon their hand and as frontlets upon their forehead. To be not literally to understood. Then we also read in the Bible that God's people, that they also receive a mark. And we read of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And then in Revelation 7 verse 3, then we read till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And in Revelation 14 verse 1, having their father's name written in their foreheads. When we read those texts, then we do not understand it literally, that God's people have the name of God and their father written visibly upon their forehead. When we read of the sealing of the Holy Spirit, then we do not understand that literally. Thus, when we consider those texts, and we consider our text, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive, that word receive, the marginal notes, it also says to get a mark, to receive a mark in their right hand, and in their foreheads. When we consider the other text in the Bible where it speaks of those things, and that we do not understand it literally, but that we understand it figuratively, then must we not do the same thing in our text words? And now the question is, what must we then understand by the mark of the beast in our forehead and in our right hand? What is behind our forehead, boys and girls? There's our brain, what we think with. We hear, understand, make decisions. What do we do with our right hand? We labor with our right hand. Thus then our text, when we understand it figuratively, then it concerns our thoughts, our life, our labor, our whole life. Whether it is regulated by the Holy Word of God or by the philosophy, the ways, and the false religion of the world. Thus then in our text, then a choice is laid before us. And when we speak of those things, that does not mean that it shall not be connected with all the inventions and the technology in this world. When we see how quickly things have developed, then we can understand how that a world leader, by the way of technology and in the way of buying and selling, can have control over the great multitudes. And now it is written for those that have not the mark of the beast on their forehead and in their right hand. That they cannot buy, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Thus that means for the true church, where God's word may have authority, people that may love that word and love the God of that word, does not mean the people that can keep that word are God's people, oh wretched man that he am. But there's their longing and their desire. Then when we read of that mark, and we also see what is going on in this day, then shall there soon come a time, only consider the Lord's Day. More and more becoming an economy 24/7. Devil is those beasts, they are working day and night to do away with the two roses that are left out of paradise. Then for the true people of God, for those that truly have respect for his word and walk according to thereto, then it shall become more and more difficult, nearly impossible, to live upon this earth. But the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has purchased his people for soul and for body, and he shall watch over his people. And then we read of the number, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man, and the number is 666, a triple six. A six for the dragon, a six for the horrible beast out of the sea, and a six for the beast out of the earth. but it is a number of the man. It is not a number of perfection, and that is now the comfort for the true church of God. Oh, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Thus the comfort for that people, that remnant, little flock. Fear not, little flock. 'Tis the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The comfort for that little flock, that the dragon, the two beasts, with all the power, with the media at their disposal, they have much at their disposal, but they can only come to the number of 6, not to the number of 7. That is the number of fullness. That is the number of perfection. That is the number that is given to the Lord, young and old, when we read this chapter. And also under the Lord's solemn speaking, then it comes closer and closer, becomes more and more real. And how is it with the mark of the beast? Then our text words, as it were, they lay a choice before us. Whether we go with the multitude, or whether we listen to the beast under the control of the red dragon, the enemy of the church, the murderer from the beginning, or whether we shall refuse to hearken to the dragon and to the beasts. Thus a choice. Joshua, he has said to the children of Israel in Joshua 24 verse 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elijah, on Mount Carmel, he has gathered Israel together, and the priest of Baal, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be Lord, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him, young and old. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, either to take the mark of the beast, to follow the world, to offend, grieve the Lord, come under his wrath, but in the way of that choice to choose for hell above heaven, we have heard the part of those that shall receive the mark. But now the Lord has a people. Oh, it shall become more and more difficult. They shall be despised, ridiculed, not only by the world, also by the church. We think it through, even under our circumstances. Then we can see how easy division can come in the church, also concerning the future. But ah, that blessed people of God, although it shall become very difficult, when they may receive a token of his favor, we have heard in the past week that they shall not hurt the wine and the oil. And then the Apostle John, he was given to see in chapter 15 another sea. Was a sea as crystal? Was a sea as glass? Oh, hear the sea, what a storms, what a waves, also in the life of his people. But ah, the Lord has those waves. Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall not suffer them to be tempted above that they are able to bear. Ah, that people that has not that mark, they shall be persecuted. But John was given to see the portion, the eternal blessing,
and the portion of that people. Because we read in chapter 15, the verses 2 and 3, "And I saw, as it were, a son of glass, mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast." Do you hear, young and old, the church? They shall be victorious at last. Gotten the victory over the beast, because the dragon and the beast, they shall be cast into hellfire. Gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, and all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Young and old, shall we and our dear children be among them? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of solemn times. 'Tis the lot of us and our children to live in those solemn times, where we may see the developments of the world, and also at this moment, that thou art speaking so loudly, so clearly to the children of men. We humbly ask thee, that thou may work richly, mightily by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Lord, convert us and our children as thou hast converted all thy people, to receive a love for thee and for thy word, for thy commandment, for thy day and for thy institutions. And then to be given to make that good choice for thee and thy service, although it shall be a deep way, and it shall only be deeper as we come closer to the ends of the world. And then we read in thy word, "And who shall live when the Lord doeth these things? And thou wast also spoken that the day shall be shortened for the elect's sake. Lord, have a special favor unto us, that also thy judgments, that they may be used to that end. Oh, give us not over to the hardening of the heart. Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this day, in the proclamation and in the hearing of thy word? May there be a large ingathering, convert us. Oh, give that repentance and that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen." Our closing psalter, Psalter 2, the stanzas 1 through 4. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet, he who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. We forgot to announce that the extra collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund, and there will be a midweek service this coming Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Psalter 2, the first four stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.